1 Timothy 1:12. I'm going to speak on this subject tonight as we continue our study through Timothy, verse 12 through 17, five marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Five marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then if we have time, verse 18 through 20, Paul does give Timothy three charges, and we'll see how we do on time. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. We'll begin in verse number 12 and read down through verse number 17. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. What amazing principles are contained in these just handful of verses. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we, each of us, dear God, seek to desire to be ministers or servants of the Lord, whether or not it's as a layperson or as someone in full-time ministry, Lord, the principles still apply. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand in your eyes, according to your word, what are the good attributes of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we'll give them to you tonight, being in verse number 12. Five marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Before I give you number one, let me just say this, and I think it's good to say it and to hear it, but it is a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. I mean, it's a blessing. You know what, folks? The ministry and working in a ministry and working in a church is great. It shouldn't be something we try to dodge or try to avoid or complain. I mean, I don't know if there's anything in the world better than serving the Lord. And to me, the ministry's great. I love it. But I do think that if we want to offer ourselves as a minister or servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should understand that there are some responsibilities that come with that, and we can pull these out of these verses. I think they jump off the pages at us, and so we'll study these tonight. Five marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Number one, a thankful and humble heart. A thankful and humble heart. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. There's no arrogance in the words of Paul here, is there? There's nothing to brag about. He's not beating his chest. There's a humility that's refreshing in this day and age. It seems like in this day and age where even many men in the ministry seem to be so much into self-promotion, how these words kind of just waft off the page. They're like a fragrance, how refreshing they are. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. You know what Paul understood is that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't be in the ministry. And it was Christ's decision. And there was a thankful heart about it. I'll be honest with you. I talk to more and more guys that are in the ministry. It seems like all I hear from them is complaining. I'm kind of tired of hearing it, to be honest with you. I want to say to some preachers, well, you know what? If it's that bad, go do something else. I mean, I think that every day of your life, you ought to wake up and say, I get to serve God. I get to be in the ministry. I get to do this. I mean, I will say this, and I mean it. I can't tell you how many times a Sunday ends, and I'm on the way home, and I said, Lord, I cannot believe you let me do this every week of my life. But I don't think it ought to be just the attitude of a preacher. I think that's how you ought to feel at the end of your Sunday school class. I think that's how you ought to feel when you're walking down after a choir special. I think that's the way you ought to feel, watch this, if you're cleaning the buildings. It's all ministry. There's not low-level ministry and high-level ministry. Anything you do for the Lord is ministry. I think you ought to feel that way when you're out there mowing the grass. I mean that. Lord, thank you for letting me. I get to do this. This is your church. This is a miracle place, and you let me come and you let me help. Listen, folks, we need a revival of our attitude towards serving the Lord. I always, and let's just sneak back there, all right? You could quote it, but let's go to the 100th Psalm. Every once in a while, I take us back here because I call this psalm the attitude adjusting psalm, okay? You ever needed your attitude adjusted? You know, well, let me ask you this, because nobody will admit to that. Has your children ever needed their attitudes adjusted? Yeah, we can always admit that our children do, and we struggle with ourselves. But the honest truth is, you were someone's child. All right, so I was riding to UPS one day with a guy by the name of Jim Montoro, and he slams the brake almost back, slams on the brakes, almost backs in somebody, hits somebody in the back end, and out from underneath my seat rolls a billy club. And it hits my feet, and I look down, and I pick it up, and I'm like, what's this? And he said, that's my attitude adjuster. And so I stuck it back under the seat. I mean, whatever. He had an attitude adjuster. Well, I think Psalms 100 ought to be an attitude. Make an attitude adjuster. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Watch this. Here it is. Serve the Lord with gladness. All right. I get to usher tonight. Not, oh, my gosh, you're kidding. You know, I'm going to not wear a tie so I don't have to. I mean, it's craziness. Honestly, it's craziness. I mean, I remember as a young man growing up, the first time that Dad sent the head usher to come and say to me, "Would pastors approve, would you be an usher?" And I'm going to tell you, I thought it was the greatest honor in the world. I thought, how come something that used to be a big deal all of a sudden isn't that big a deal anymore? Nothing's changed except our attitude about it. I mean, you get to say, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I just help. What do you mean you just help? I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, good night. Ask the teacher how huge that is. I mean, teachers, they can't teach and do everything else and troubleshoot. I mean, what I'm saying is this, folks. Listen, let's take a step back. And let's say, let's serve the Lord with gladness. Look what God's given us to do. Look what we get to do every week. And so serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I mean, I think we ought to show up with a song in our heart. I think we ought to be, listen, I really believe this. If you're waiting to get to church to get fired up and get revived, then you're behind by about 3 hours. Okay, because you need to have a miniature revival and get your heart on fire and ready to go before you pull out of the parking lot at your house. That's why I say this. Let me give you some practical advice, folks. Stop staying up so late on Saturday night. Stop standing there, sitting in front of a TV set for 4 or 5 hours on Saturday night, going to bed too late, waking up. I mean, how in the world can you come in and do a spiritual work for God when you spent 5 hours of carnality and then you're physically going to bed too late, and you get up and you don't touch your Bible and you don't pray and you wander in, and you think the power of God is going to fall in your Sunday school class and miracles are going to happen? I mean, what I'm saying is, listen, if we start looking at Sunday and taking it serious and realize for one or two or three of the kids that walk in your class, this could be life or death, eternity, forever. One shot we get them here, that's going to be it. Are we going to stand before God with blood on our hands? I mean, you know what? If I'm a brand new visitor, I walk in here and I see a choir that's up there mumbling through something and got a frown on their face and look like they've been beat to get up there, and there's no happiness and there's no joy. I mean, come on. We've got to come already with a touch of God on us, because people need to see that on Sunday morning. And that goes for everything. I mean, ushers, come on. I mean, you're the first person they see. There ought to be a smile on your face. And everybody excitement about it. Glad to see you. Let me get you a bulletin. Hey, let me help you find a seat. Let me introduce you to a couple people. I mean, just go watch visitors walk in the door, walk past you. Everybody stares at them. Don't say anything to them. They wander around. They look like, I've left the platform and gone down and grabbed visitors and helped them find a seat. Man, there ought to be 75 members jumping up and helping. And what I'm saying is, folks, come ready. Come ready to see God do something. Show up with a song in your heart. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is me, he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. You say, oh, you just want me to fake it. Folks, good night. You shouldn't be faking it. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all generations. If that don't light a fire in your soul, check your spiritual pulse and make sure you've been born again, because what we need to do is get excited about the things of the Lord. A thankful and humble heart. I mean, Paul didn't look at this thing and say, look what I left this and I gave up this and this is what I have to do. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me. There's the humility part. You know what? He didn't say, you know what, boy, it was a great day when God found all this skill and talent and personality. You know what he said? He said, God picked me up off the road of Damascus, and he didn't just call me into the ministry. He equipped me and gave me what I needed to. Remember when God called, we won't go back there, God called Jeremiah as a child. Jeremiah said, I can't do this. He said after that he called him, and after he surrendered, he said he reached down and he touched his lips. And listen, who God calls, God anoints. And you know what? You offer yourself for service to the Lord. Oh, preacher, I could never teach a Sunday school class. Well, yeah, you can't, and that's a good thing. Just remember that the rest of your life. But God can help you to do it, and God can anoint you to do it, and God can make you an amazing Sunday school teacher. And Paul got that. I mean, he wasn't taking credit for all the churches he started. He wasn't taking credit for all the people that were saved. He was saying this: it was the Lord Jesus. I thank God that he called me, and he enabled me, he equipped me, he anointed me, he made it so that I could be successful at this. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me. Number one, a thankful and humble heart. Number two, a faithful life. Now folks, listen to me, watch this. In verse number 12, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now that means something, by the way. I think when somebody gets saved, you know what? God just kind of sets back and says, okay, I'm going to watch them for a while. And you know what? I'm going to see if they are counted faithful. If they are counted, that means like God's counting. Yes, sir. Wonder what he's counting. Well, he's counting the number of times you could have been here, but you just made excuse and didn't come. Okay, he's counting the number of times that you were given an opportunity to do something for the Lord, but you begged out of it. He counted the times when he gave somebody right in front of your face and gave you a perfect opportunity to sacrifice and serve somebody. And you know what? You were too selfish to do it. You know what? God's accountant. Yes, sir. Hey, young people, right now in your teenage years, God's accountant. Yes, sir. Say, what's God going to use me for one of these days? Well, I don't know. I don't know what the count is. But if your count's low, I'd get my count up. Yes, sir. I'd get my count up. Okay? I mean, you know what? Step up. Be here. You know what? Preachers count. I mean, there's always positions to fill, and there's always things that need to be done, and there's always down the road thinking. But, you know, I look up about every, you know, two or three services, you can't be found. You know, I'm a counting. Well, you don't know. Well, maybe I don't, but I can count. I can count when you're here, and I can count when you're not. But you don't know. All right, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you can't give somebody a job who won't be there faithfully. Okay, whatever the reason, whatever the excuse is, I'm just saying, you can't give somebody a job in the church. He's going to be a hit-misser all the time. And so what I'm saying is God's accounting. I think that we ought to just stop and think about that. God's, hey, what's he counted in 2014? How's it going? Have you been faithful to church in 2014? I mean faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. I mean just rock solid there. I know sometimes we're providentially hindered, and I get that, but I don't think God providentially hinders us as much as we providentially hinder ourselves. Okay, so, my cow fell into a ditch. All right, I get that. Did you push him in? And by the way, if you didn't mend the fence on Saturday, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's amazing how many different things we can look at and say, well, look what the Lord did. Well, was it the Lord really? And so help me, you know, listen, folks, I don't get off on this very often, but parents, I'm going to tell you something, and I get on this and people get real nervous and they all get crazy on you because young mothers and young dads, you know, he must be talking about me. I don't have anybody in mind, so I'm just going to tell you I'm talking about all of you. Okay, all right, so if the shoe fits, wear it. But I want to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. Raise your children to be faithful.
Yes, sir.
And raise your children to be faithful to church.
Yes,
and you know what? If Johnny's sick, one of the little ones are sick, it doesn't take the whole family staying home to hold the handkerchief so he can blow his nose.
Yes, sir.
If you start using your children as an excuse not to be faithful to, yes, to God, God might take your excuse away.
Yes, sir.
You better think about what I just said.
That's
Don't you use your children as an excuse not to be faithful to the Lord. Well, I think he might be running a little fever, so maybe we all ought to stay home and watch TV. You know, God knows your heart. And you know what, folks? I'm just going to go ahead and say it all since I'm here, and it's nervous anyway. But you know what? Folks, listen to me. If your kids are sick all the time, you need to take a step back and look at your lifestyle. It is a good point. You know, it's amazing. You get to finding the kids that are always, seem like every, and I know sometimes people are afflicted with chronic, and I mean children are sometimes, and they've got a chronic something, and that's fine. You know, I get it. When's their bedtime? Are they eating their vegetables? Now, I didn't say peas because that's not a vegetable. Everybody knows peas are a weed. I mean, if they're eating junk food, you know, 6-8 times a week, look right up here. It's not time to bow your head and pray. We're not going anywhere yet. I'm just trying to hit a reset button with some sanity again. You know, I mean, if they've eaten more French fries than they have green beans, yeah, I'm just telling you. Okay? And I'm just saying there's some certain things, lifestyles, that you better take a look at, because you know what? You get the kids to bed at a decent time. They don't need to be up all hours of the night. Listen, parents, you need them to go to bed early. And all the mamas said, amen, that's right. You think a bedtime, is it for them? No, it's for you. Good night. Man, I mean, put them to bed. Watch this. They need a nap. Oh, wait, my kid's 4. He don't need a nap. Yes, he does. Good night. Man alive, no one can stand to be around him about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. He's a monster. You know why? He needed a nap. It's good stuff. And then all the grandmas are loving this, man. Oh, yeah. And by the way, moms, you need for them to have a nap. You say, well, but I don't, they're, listen, I'm going to tell you what we did to our girls, and we did it all the way up to when they were 17. but Cheryl, I mean, listen, put them on a schedule. Put them on a schedule, okay? If, you know what? Nap time. Guess what? It's nap time. That means y'all go to your bed, and by the way, you can read a book and be quiet. Yes, sir. But you can't talk. And if you don't want to sleep, then read. But you need the quiet time, and I need the quiet time, and this is what we're going to do. And it's amazing, if you make them be quiet and read, how many of them that didn't need a nap get a nap? Amen? Yes, sir. And, how did I get off on this? I am on an island by myself now. I am so far from where I need to go. But I'm just, listen, I take a look at my life. And I mean, if it's my children, if it's my wife, it's me, it's whatever. I take a look at my life and say, if I'm not faithful to church, why? I mean, let's answer the real question here. And here's the thing. What do I need to change so that I am faithful to church? See, everybody's coming to the preacher and to other church members and giving all the reasons why they can't. Why don't you take a step back and turn your whole thinking around? Amen. What in my life keeps me from being in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Honest, what is keeping me from that? It's America.
Yep.
It's a free country.
Yes,
okay? Nobody's making you do anything.
True.
So whatever drastic changes you need to make to solve that, make them. And God will bless you for your faithfulness.
Yes,
okay, now don't come to the back door and say, but Brother Ross, you just don't understand. I'm not inclined to understand. I'm inclined to tell you that people who determine to be faithful to the house of God are faithful to the house of God. And people that are going to find excuses are always going to find excuses. Be in your place. God will bless you for faithfulness. But beyond that, you know what he'll do? He'll count it. And he'll give you opportunities to serve that he's not going to give to somebody who's unfaithful. Brother Whittington, is that good preaching? Amen. All righty. You talk about a faithful man, there's one right there. And my father-in-law and some of you other blessed saints that are dealing with health issues, you know that I'm not preaching at you. This man, I think, worked for Pommering Chevrolet for how many years? 25. And how many sick days did you take in 25 years? Not one. Pastored a church for how many years? 23. Some of you guys are 23 years old and you've already taken 23 sick days in your life. I'm just flat telling you, there's a reason that Mr. Pommering, who owns Pommering Chevrolet in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, a multimillionaire, put everything, this is his Joseph, put everything to that company he could put and put in his trust in his hands and never worry about it. I'm just telling you, whether it's in the business world or whether it's in the church house, the faithful guy, the man that can be counted on, you know what? Somebody's counting. Young men, you better hear what I'm saying. The boss is counting. The boss is counting. You know, we work hard around here to help guys get jobs, and we do. We get them saved. A lot of them don't have a work ethic. They haven't off and on. We'll help them. But you know what? I can help them get a job, but I can't help them keep a job. If they work for a solid week and then the next week call off 2 days, what do you think that boss is going to think? So he says, all right, and he lets it go, and they come in for another 4 and then call off for another 1, and then they work 7 and then they call off 2. If I'm that guy, I'm firing you. If I'm that guy, I'm firing you. Don't call in, crawl in. I don't know why I'm off on all of this tonight. Listen, what happened to faithfulness? Just showing up. Just being there. Just doing it. All right, good stuff. All right, number three. I got to get 5 of these done. A thankful and humble heart, a faithful life. I love this, verse number 13. A remembrance of where you came from. I'll tell you, folks, listen to me. Who was before? A blasphemer, persecutor, injures, but I obtained mercy. Whew, come on now. I'm getting goosebumps. The best preachers in the world that preach the most effectively to lost people have never forgot what it was to be a lost person. The best disciplers in the world that disciple new converts are the ones that's never forgotten what it's like to be a new convert. I mean, folks, you know what? You didn't get saved and become what you are now overnight. And I've said this just recently. The best people that work with teens are the ones that's never forgot what it's like to be a teenager. The best children's workers still got a little kid inside of them, okay? And they just never forgot it. I'm just saying that, you know what, let's never fail to go back from time to time and revisit and thank God what you saved me from, what you have extended mercy in my life over. Listen, here's what Paul was saying. There were plenty of reasons for him not to let me do what I'm doing. But I obtained mercy. And every single person serving the Lord, the only reason you're serving the Lord is because of the mercy and grace of God. If we only used people that deserved it, we wouldn't be using anybody, including this preacher. Preacher wouldn't be used. None of us would be used. There's more than enough stuff, junk in all of our lives and all of our past, that if we did not have mercy, God would say, you know what, you can just go on over and sit in the corner until I come. But I love that. Now listen, I think there ought to be a party that never forgets what God's done for you. I think when you start talking about your salvation, there ought to be a little bit of a tear in your eye. There ought to be a tenderness in your soul. Don't ever forget what God did for you. And so Paul never forgot that. A remembrance of where you came from. Number 4, a clear understanding of the grace and mercy of God. Verse 14 through 16. Look for the word grace and look for the word mercy as I read. And then, of course, wow, watch it exhibited in verse 15. You got grace in 14, mercy in 16, and then you have the perfect example of both of those in what he says in 15. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, hey, it just took a little dab of God's grace to fix this. Oh, no, he said it was exceeding abundant. Wow, come on now. With faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So he's never forgot the grace. And this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Well, that's a great verse, isn't it? Then he said this, of whom I am chief. Say, preacher, somebody stopped you on the street and said, who's the worst sinner in your church? You know what I'd say? Me. And by the way, if they ask you that, That oughtn't be your Pharisee answer. That ought to be how you feel. Everybody always, you know, having this, well, this person's bad, this person's bad. Well, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Come on. Paul, there would be many preachers that would stand up and line up and say the greatest Christian in the Bible is Apostle Paul. You ask Apostle Paul about that, he'd say, well, I'm great as something, but it isn't Christian. Come on. This is good for us, isn't it? Listen, folks, have a clear understanding of the grace. And say, preacher, why are you in the ministry? Because of the grace of God, the mercy of God. Why do you get to preach? Because of the grace and mercy of God. Why do you get to be a bus captain? Brother, you know, let me tell you the answer. Because of the grace and mercy of God. Why do you got to teach that Sunday school class? Oh, because I'm going to tell you what, we looked around and the cream rose to the top. And we finally recognized your greatness and gave you a Sunday school class. That's why I can't give a class to some of you. You're too good a Christian to have a Sunday school class. I like that. I'm going to say it again. You're too good a Christian to have a Sunday school class. You're not really, but you are in your own eyes. And you know what I want? I want the person every Sunday morning gets on their knees and cries a puddle of tears and say, God, I shouldn't be doing this. There's 1,000 people ought to be doing this. But Lord, you give me the opportunity. Please help this old sinner. I want to help these kids. Give me that guy. Give me that lady. I mean, come on. All right? The grace and mercy of God. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This is pretty neat. This is the way Paul looked at his life. He said, summarize your life, Paul. Well, this is the way I see it. Jesus Christ hasn't been gone that long. And he was looking for somebody that he could show as a pattern for the rest of time until he came back. He wanted to find somebody that was so far at the bottom and so worthless and such a scoundrel and such a heathen that he would save them, so that everybody that lived after me would know that there's hope for them. How refreshing is that? And now listen, Paul's not blowing smoke here. That's how he felt. That's what he believed. He said, I think God just reached all the way down past the bottom of the bottom. I think he scraped the bottom. I think he got to the bottom and dug down deeper and reached down to the miry pit and pulled out me up and saved me so that everybody would know that there's enough grace for you, there's enough mercy for you. And I'm not sure, folks, listen to me, we can't spend a lot of time on this. I'm not sure right now we're not putting our finger on the pulse on the exact reason why God used Paul to a great extent as he does and why he's not finding very many Christians to use nowadays. Because we're too full of ourselves. We got too high of opinion of ourselves. Okay, we're upset when somebody doesn't. Well, wait a minute. You ought to be. If somebody picked over the top of you, you know what your thing would be? Whoever else it was, well, that was a good choice. Because I'm telling you, they're a better Christian than I am. You want to completely get envy and jealousy out of the church? All of us decide that we're the chiefest of sinners. All of us decide that it took a whole boatload of mercy and grace to reach down and pull us up. That anything God lets us to do is an act of mercy and grace. And you know what? You get a group of people like that, you're going to see some pretty remarkable things begin to happen. That's good stuff. That is good. All right, number 5, we're done. A desire to bring glory to God. A desire to bring glory to God. And so here are the marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. A thankful, humble heart, faithful life, a remembrance from where you came from, clear understanding of God's mercy and grace in your life. And then look at verse 17. What a great verse. I mean, there's even an amen. Doesn't that mean that I should stop church tonight? That's it. This is all we're going to do. Now unto the King. And see, he just talked about how he's nothing. And now I think if you could have saw Paul when he was writing this, I think he was having a Babdecostal fit. Now unto the King eternal. Paul said, I'm not eternal. Immortal. I'm not immortal. Invisible. I'm not invisible. Only wise. I'm not wise. You know what? If we're going to give honor and glory forever and ever, let's give it to that King. And so a desire to bring glory to God. Now, you put these things down. And this just could be 5 points that go in one ear and out the other. You know the story of the two deacons took the pastor out shooting, and deer ran across. Did Bob Hamlin tell you this? Deer ran across an open field, and they all opened fire at one time. It's not like one shot. And all three of them wanted to claim that they killed this big buck, and the deacon said, "I'll go check it out." So he went over there and came back and said, "It's the preacher's." The deacon said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because the shot went right in one ear and out the other." So, even those of you that have heard this, thank you for laughing. Thank you. I appreciate that. But you know, sometimes we write some things down, or we give an outline. Preacher's got to come up with an outline. He's got to have some. I'm telling you, folks, if we would take these five things and write them somewhere and meditate and say, "God, please, turn me into that. Turn me into that person. Help me to grab a hold of these things. Help me to get it." Because I will tell you this, without an exception, great men and great women of God that I have met and that I hold in high esteem, these five things are always rock solid in their life. It's always rock solid in their life. And so this is good for us tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the enjoyable time we've had around your word, and Lord, for what we've learned. May we grasp it. May we hold on to it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to always have a thankful heart, a humble heart, faithful life. Lord, help us never to forget what you saved us from. Help us to always be overwhelmed, never fail to be overwhelmed. Tear in our eye, tear down our cheek, grace and mercy of God. That's the only reason I'm saved. That's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason God's doing anything with my life. Grace and mercy of God. And Lord, I pray that whatever you do, use us to accomplish, Lord, that we would stop and we would say what Paul said. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And to that we would all add amen. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us, Lord. Now I pray, dear God, as we now conclude the service, have our invitation, and then go on to our business meeting, that you'll bless the rest of the night, we pray. In Jesus' name.